community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
We've got a packed studio this afternoon. Packed. We've got Alan and Liv from the Brentwood Gazette, and we've got Paul from Phoenix, haven't we, Paul?
Hello. Nice to be on the station.
At long last. Oh, there I am. Yes. Nice to be on the station at long last. It's about time, isn't it?
It's a privilege, haven't
you? Boys, this is the day when you come in and you tell us what's going to be on the front page of the Brentwood Gazette on a Wednesday.
Yes.
So
tomorrow morning,
what you got to line up for us? Because you haven't told me anything about this.
Do you want to do the honours, Alan? Share the wealth.
Yeah, it's a story. Actually, it is a Brentwood Gazette story, but you may well have read it elsewhere by now, as it's definitely done the rounds. It's about David Bishop, who was a Tory candidate for Brentwood South Ward, and messages he posted on Twitter, messages he retweeted, yeah. Messages he posted on there, which we pulled him up on, really.
Yes, a few tweets that were sort of they were retweets, and this is one of those things.
He didn't actually write them himself; they were retweets.
One of them was a post, so I believe he posted a video and wrote the title of the video, which was remind me.
It's good to be anti-Islam by a controversial comedian called Pat Condell.
So there was that, and there was a couple of the usual sort of troll characters on Twitter tweeted various things, something about Islam being the religion of peace and rape. And of course, when someone writes that, the last thing the thing that most sort of normal people do is just look at that and go, that's repugnant, that's horrible, you know, not very nice. What they don't do is retweet it. Now, Twitter's a funny sort of environment, really, should we say, because the action of retweeting something is kind of widely known as an endorsement of that view. So if you like it, like on Facebook, you like it; on Twitter, you retweet it, and of course, then it gets spread to your followers, which is fine. You know, most people retweet things that they agree with.
But there is a lot of there's a lot of uneducated in the ways of libel, slander, and broadcast law people out there that they don't. I'm a bit ham-fisted.
No, quite, absolutely.
They don't understand that a libel repeated is a libel doubled.
Absolutely.
You can't go, oh, well, I just repeated what he said over there. No, because you're now in the frame as well.
But arguably, you can't actually libel an entire religion.
No, not at all.
I think, you know, we're in a situation where, we're seeing people coming to court now. You know, these sort of trolls. And there was a couple who were in court quite recently. And it was quite interesting to see the sort of the snatch photos of them outside court. And they were what, as you might imagine, the sorts of people who hide behind these sort of cartoon characters, images on Twitter.
Yeah.
Turning up to court looking very sort of upset with themselves. And these are the sort of trolls. Now, you know, arguably Dave Bishop isn't a troll, but what puts this into stark contrast is when you're standing for election for the Conservative Party, and of course let's be honest, you know, making no secret about that, this is someone who stood on I think three occasions previously. I'm not entirely sure, but I think his Twitter profile, whether it said he was a candidate or not, he would be known as that, as a candidate for the Conservatives. And so when you sort of repeat such messages,
it did actually say he was chairman of Brentwood South Conservatives.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then. What a lot of people do, and I think they rather misguidedly, that people will put, you know, tweets my own, not the tweets of my company. Sometimes put a little caveat at the end of their thing on Twitter. Well, I don't think in legal sense either that actually covers you.
I've
been in this situation before. If I were to go out, if I were to retweet these things, and someone brought these to the attention of my boss, I think I'd be having a very, very similar kind of conversation that Dave Bishop had with Louise McKinley, who's the leader of the party. along the lines of, what the hell are you doing? This doesn't represent the views of our company. You know, on your bike, son. I think I'm pretty sure that's the sort of conversation I would have. And it's when you're in the public sphere, you're asking people to sort of put faith in your views and represent them.
Yeah, that's I can understand that.
You know, you have to watch what you say. I think in one way of thing, you know, in one way of looking at it, I suppose in a way he may well have done the people, the voters in Brentwood South good, because if these are the views that he endorses, they're probably not largely going to be the views that that voters endorse. So at least they know now that you know, these are opinions of this man, or at least they're certainly things that he's prepared to retweet, whether they're opinions or not. He saw fit to endorse them on Twitter. But you're right, I think it is a very confusing platform.
Very, very. There needs to be a little bit more education out there as to, you can't just repeat words. They will all have repercussions. Well, everything you do and say has repercussions.
Things come back to haunt you. Yeah, of course. It's like, you know, you can say something. You can have a conversation, you know, on Twitter, or you can say certain things. Now, you can go to a pub, you can say certain things, and no one's listening. But you wouldn't, you know, if someone were there and they're jotting down everything you said and then left it on the side of left it on a barroom table for others to read, suddenly you've got a problem because someone's going, oh my God, what's this person been saying? And is the Twitter environment. Yeah. It may well be a bit pub-like and people are chatting and joking and retweeting bits and pieces, here they go. But there is a trail. It's not a paper trail, but there is a digital trail.
Yeah.
Of everything that you've said. And unfortunately, you know, this says more about where we are, I suppose, in modern day living, in that newspapers are picking up on things that people are saying on Twitter, because it's a new medium that people are using to communicate. I wonder, you know, whether we will get some criticism for running this story. People will say this is lazy journalism, this isn't good journalism, but I think it's us just covering something that is very much of the now, really. It's
people. Journalism is journalism.
Well, exactly.
You've got the job to do, and you have to do the job. I don't think anybody with an intelligent mind would really blame you for doing what you're doing. I think there has to be a little bit more education out there as to what, when you do something on your computer screen that's attached to the internet, it isn't on your computer screen.
I think the other thing was,
this is out in the open world.
The thing with Twitter, which is perhaps different to other social networks, Facebook, for example, Twitter doesn't work. Whilst you can have a private account, you can have it with password protected, well, kind of hidden, so not everyone can see your tweets. Yeah. It doesn't work. If you have it like that, you're cut off kind of from everyone else on Twitter. And it's just pointless. It's like using a protected Facebook account.
This is the real difference between Facebook and Twitter. Now, Facebook, once upon a time, and I remember, and this is going to sound really ghoulish, but back in sort of 2007 when I started as a reporter, you know, if something happened and you wanted to find out about someone, you could go onto Facebook and it was entirely open, and you could see everything about their life. You could see pictures, you could find out all about them, because the profiles were largely unprivatized. Now that changed, and that changed probably through just through maybe experience of people finding that people could find out all sorts of information about them. But certainly Facebook really closed in and became a private sharing sort of community for friends.
Yeah.
Twitter is the complete opposite of that. It is all about getting messages out there, speaking to people. You know, you can contact celebrities, you can contact your favorite rock stars or whatever, and you can have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
So when you're throwing information out there, you're throwing your thoughts out there. You need to be careful that, you know, that people are going to read them, because that's the point of Twitter. It goes out there, and people with private accounts, as you say, Alan, don't tend to be the ones that are really interacting, and you get into a very difficult situation.
And it's boring if you've got a private account. You can't do anything. You can't be retweeted.
You won't
end up chatting to people perhaps you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is part of what Twitter's about, isn't it? It's about connecting with people who've got similar interests to otherwise you would not come in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've known David for quite a few years. I know him very, very well. In fact, he was around my house 2 days before this story came out. And I've got to say, he is a really, really nice fella, but I think he's been a little bit naive here. That's all. I just think he just didn't think whatsoever. He didn't think about any repercussions.
Mm.
Well, that, you know, that may well be the case. Dave Bishop is not someone. I don't think he's someone I've ever met. I mean, as part of the campaign trail over the years that I've been on the Gazette, he has. We've had bits and pieces from him, but he's not. He's not someone I've really come across, and I think the danger is that in that is that is that my situation probably mirrors the vast majority of people in Brentwood, in that they don't know him, and now all they know him for is this.
Yeah, so,
another example of, you know, just be incredibly careful about what you put out there. I mean, they are educating kids now in schools about the dangers of social media.
I think
media.
They need to.
Yeah, well, I believe that is beginning.
Because just through some silly little comment, you can end up having being sued and having your house taken away from you and all sorts. I mean, you can...
Sally Burko sort of silly comment that she made that ended up landing her in court. You know, it's getting serious now. While I'm an advocate of people having freedom of speech, being able to say what they want on the internet, I think, you know, the days of that having no repercussions have gone.
Well, I used to work for a large radio group that used to have and have still got a department specifically watching Twitter and Facebook accounts mm-hmm. of all the staff to make sure that certain information isn't going out, negative yep. comments and so on and so forth. So, I mean, they're spending a lot of money doing this. Yeah. They're not doing it for no reason.
Well, exactly. And one thing that Twitter, you know, one thing that Twitter's doing more than anything is kind of, it's the brandification of individuals. So everyone becomes their own personal publisher, their own personal brand. Mm. You know, if you go on Twitter,
which is the attraction,
I'm Nev Wilson. Yeah, I am the brand. That is my name. Yeah. I put out there everything I put out there is ultimately, I suppose, promoting myself as the editor of the Brentwood Gazette. You know, do you buy into me? Do you buy into the paper? That's that sort of thing. So, you know, again, people who are promoting themselves as candidates and running for election need to be even more aware of the dangers of this.
Totally agree with you.
But equally, another danger is when people see something like this and they say, "Oh, well, that's why I'm not on Twitter." Well, that defeats the point.
Just
on it, but don't be an idiot.
You've just got to be careful.
Yeah,
so you've basically. Got to think before you do something.
Exactly, and that's
like saying people shouldn't drive because people have accidents.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
You've just got to be careful. And none of us are suggesting in any way, shape, or form that any of this reflects on the Conservative Party in any way, shape, whatsoever.
No, and I think actually credit to Louise and party very soon after. They were contacted. A statement went up, and the wheels were turning very, very quickly. I don't think it was a situation that there could have been any other result, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That is where we are. You know. Opinions or retweets or whatever, their endorsements like this do not reflect the Conservative Party, and they were forced to distance themselves from him and them.
Now, on a different note, I did notice that the picture you've got next to him is a dirty great big picture of UB40.
I'm not sure dirty is the word.
Dirty. It's a great big picture. Look at that. Fantastic.
As soon as you open the paper, that is what will greet you tomorrow.
It is. Look at that.
The Brentwood Gazette is always full of dark and light. You know.
this is some light for you. This is your light piece for the week.
Dirty great big picture. Look at that one. Lovely.
Brentwood Festival. I believe you had the announcement on Friday, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Laurie came down and announced QB40.
As the headliner on Sunday.
Yeah, wow. Which was great. And talked about some of the other acts as well, as you're doing as well. So it's good to see some positive news in the Gazette.
Yeah.
Well, it's not your fault if it's negative. You know, you're just reporting this out there. But it's good to see, the Brentwood Festival is the sixth year, I think it is. And hopefully growing from, how many years?
Fourth, I believe.
Fourth at the Brentwood Centre. I think they've had it in the White Horse a couple of times before mm-hmm. that. Who knows? It's one of these things that gets revised all the time. Mm-hmm. That many years, and the infrastructure is brilliant at the festival. You know, I mean, it could hold 250,000 people. It's absolutely massive. Mm-hmm. Let's hope UB40 is going to give it a better.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a good draw for people. I mean, last year they had Chaz and Dave, which again it's that slightly older draw, but again, Chaz and Dave sort of cross generations, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
A lot of people like them as an ironic thing. Yeah,
yeah, they do. Yeah, there's a lot of college students dancing to Chaz and Dave, and it's almost not Mickey taking, but it's getting there.
You know, the Brentwood Festival, I think it's been a it's been what I suppose one could describe as a journey in the 4 years that it's been here. And I think one of the biggest challenges they've had, certainly for the first 2 years, was the weather. You know, we had 3 days, and the first two festivals that they held, the weather was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And I was here for the first two, and it was. You know, the beer's great, the music's great, but you're kind of sort of like, you know, you're being battered from by sort of, you know, winds in the, you know, into your, going flying into your ear and stuff. And it really wasn't a very pleasant experience. Last year the weather was a lot better.
It was the opposite. People were getting burnt to a crisp last year. And on the Sunday, unfortunately, it clashed with Andy Murray winning Wimbledon as well, which was kind of unfortunate. I was in one of the tents watching it.
Is there a clash this year then? Is there going to be a clash?
July the 18th or 20th?
No, they've changed the date now so that it doesn't clash with Wimbledon.
Okay, yeah, great. So I think it's going to be a
that's going to be
a
red
good event. Yeah, it's going to be a good event.
They've got three stages, 30 plus acts across 3 days. Tickets on sale now.
Alexander O'Neill on Friday night.
Correct. Yeah. Saturday night, the Jewelers.
Yeah.
Sunday night, UB40.
They've got two guys from Ocean Colour Scene coming down. But you know, I was a sort of, you know, bit into them when I was younger. I'm not actually sure. I mean, are they going to be playing? Do you know, Paul? Are they going to be playing?
I think they can do an acoustic thing,
versions of.
I would guess their stuff. Yeah, I think
Well, that's going to be great.
That's what the lineup implies. It's got acoustic next to it, so looks that way.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
be
we're
fantastic.
We're going to try and drag them in. We're going to try and drag a few people in. We're close to getting UB40 in the studio on the day as well, which will be nice.
Really?
Get
awesome.
Them in.
Yes, get them in.
So. And we'll keep on covering
keep
it
away.
Yeah, plug it in the lead up to it. Probably more in the paper every other week, I imagine, between now and then.
Yeah, lots to talk about. We're going to be featuring a number of the bands as well. Apparently someone called Michelle Ward is going to be singing as well. She's not on the list, but I've heard that she's her people have spoken, whoever her people are, have spoken to their people.
she's got people now.
Okay. I love it when they do that.
We just can't keep tabs on that.
Yeah. Well, she was tweeting me only today, so it can, you know, it just goes to say it can be used responsibly.
I haven't got a clue what Michelle's up to all the time. I have to go on record and say that. Yeah. But apparently she's going to be singing it, and she's got a fantastic voice,
if you've heard her singing.
So that will be, you know, another great thing to watch out for.
Great stuff.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in again.
No problem.
We'll see you the same time next Tuesday.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.